Last Thursday, Senate Republicans in the state legislature rushed through a bill that would alter campaign finance rules here in Michigan. The changes include doubling the limits nearly across the board on campaign contributions. The bill also seeks to ensure that so-called dark money remains just that, dark, as it will allow financial backers of so-called issue ads to remain anonymous. The effort stymies an attempt by Secretary of State Ruth Johnson to require disclosure of who pays for those issue ads. Supporters of nondisclosure say such provisions harm free speech. Here to help us sort out what all this means is Rich Robinson. Rich is the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Welcome, Rich. And joining him is Gideon DeSandro, the communications director for the Michigan Freedom Fund. Welcome, Gideon.
Thank you.
Rich Robinson, let's start with you. What do you make of what happened last Thursday?
Well, it was kind of a mixed bag as far as the Secretary of State's communications. In the first place, she denied the request of the State Bar of Michigan to require disclosure of the funders of issue advertising, quote-unquote issue advertising, in judicial campaigns. Her statement said she, in effect, could not divide the baby, so rather than require disclosure for all campaigns, she elected to say that there should be disclosure for no campaigns. Now, on the other hand, she released a news release saying that she was proposing to the Department of Legislature, Regulatory Affairs, an administrative rule process that would ultimately lead to the kind of disclosure of funders of issue advertising that she had been requested to act on.
And Gideon DeSandro, the Michigan Freedom Fund, supports the non-disclosure aspect here. Why? Why is that a good policy?
Issue ads are just different than election ads. Issue ads, going back to the writing of the Constitution and upheld through Supreme Court ruling after Supreme Court ruling all the way until the present time, have been used by Americans as a way to safely speak out against the government. It's a way to talk about issues and to frame our national debate in a safe way, without fear of intimidation, and it doesn't benefit any particular candidate. They were written into the Constitution specifically to have a place for anonymous political speech. The current setup is a way to codify that belief, and I think the system works as it is.
Let's take a step back and just remind our listeners what these issue ads are exactly. We've got an example here from the 2012 State Supreme Court election.
Johnson Kelly McCormick, tough on crime? Hardly. Johnson Kelly McCormick had the wrong priorities to protect Michigan families. Johnson has a record of questionable judgment, putting communities at risk. McCormick volunteered to represent terrorists at Guantanamo Bay and fought to protect sexual predators. And Kelly is a former appointee of scandal-ridden Wayne County executive Bob Ficano. Tell Johnson Kelly and McCormick that Michigan families need judges to protect them, not criminals.
Rich Robinson, what do you find objectionable about that kind of ad?
Nothing objectionable about it other than the fact that it wasn't reported to the Department of State and it wasn't part of the normal disclosure system. This is not an attempt in any way to preclude free speech. Make it as nasty as you want to be. Make it sweeter than saccharin. But the object of the request of the State Bar of Michigan was to get a disclosure of ads like this one that was not an issue ad. This was the functional equivalent of express advocacy. The Supreme Court ruled in a decision called Federal Election Commission against Wisconsin Right to Life that authentic issue advocacy doesn't talk about candidates or parties or challengers. They tried to provide some indices so people could discriminate between what really is issue advocacy and what is merely a campaign ad, and being coy with the use of its language.
Candidates are specifically referred to in the example we
That's
just
right.
heard. Gideon, the State Bar of Michigan's been concerned about, as Rich has pointed out, has been concerned about this in judicial elections. In just in the 2012 state Supreme Court election, only 3 million of the $18 million spent on ads from both sides of the campaign was from identified sources. Proponents like Rich argue that this violates due process. How do you respond to that argument? Doesn't it make sense that one should know if their opponent in a courtroom has donated money to the judge who's going to decide their case?
No, I don't think that there's any role for that. I think that the judge shouldn't know who's donated money to them or toward their election or against them or toward an issue that they care about. That's why there's a difference between election speech and issue ads. The election speech are the ads that are supposed to be explicitly for a candidate or against a candidate, and those are the ones you want to put your name on because you're asking the people to trust you. You're asking the people to trust you as a candidate for public office, or you're asking the people not to trust your opponent for public office. It's by its nature a personal appeal, and that's why we put their name on it.
What makes that last ad we just heard, though, an issue ad opposed to a candidate ad?
It's not about her suitability for office. It's not asking you to vote against her. It's not asking you to vote for her opponent. It's just raising issues with her public past and her actions as an appointee of Bob Ficano, her decisions to defend controversial criminals. Those are the sorts of issues that we should be having a public debate over. Those are the sorts of issues that we should be questioning our public officials about. That's the explicit purpose of issue ads, is to allow people a safe space to speak out against their government. And
that requires anonymity, in your view?
For some people, it does. That's the interesting thing. The Supreme Court, throughout the history of the United States, has said that not everyone's going to speak out in this way. But for some people, anonymity is required for them to be able to speak out. And so we need to keep that channel open to give everyone the right to free speech.
Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville was quoted in the Free Press as saying, the Supreme Court already made this decision that these donors don't have to be disclosed. And so we codified what the Supreme Court did. But there appears to be some confusion here because, contrary to what many people think, the Citizens United ruling supports disclosure. Here is Bruce Cortade, then president of the State Bar of Michigan, on Current State back in September.
The Supreme Court recognized that the disclosure of contributors to election campaigns is a governmental interest in providing the electorate with information about election-related spending resources. So Citizens United supports the disclosure. So especially in a situation here where, unlike a normal political campaign, where you don't have to worry about, you know that a politician is going to get lobbied, you know that things like that are going on. In a judicial campaign, you have the right to know, has your judge received money? Should your judge step aside?
Rich Robinson, so when the dust settles on Citizens United specifically, where does that leave us?
Well, Part 4 of Citizens United was a very strong statement in favor of disclosure. Let me quote, "The First Amendment protects political speech, and disclosure permits citizens and shareholders to react to the speech of corporate entities in a proper way. This transparency allows the electorate to make informed decisions and give proper weight to different speeches and messages." This part of Citizens United was very clear. If there's any ambiguity, it's about what is or is not an issue advertisement or an issue message. And again, going back to Wisconsin Right to Life, it's an effort to lobby on a legislative matter, grassroots lobbying, to motivate listeners to contact a public official who can act on a matter. Well, in Michigan, judges are not lobbyable officials. There's no such thing is authentic issue advocacy in a judicial campaign.
What about that point, Gideon, the fact that you should be entitled to lobby an elected legislative official, but not a judicial official?
Well, I think the Supreme Court's been very clear over time that the anonymity in issue ads is supposed to be protected. And so I agree with Rich that the key question here is whether or not it's an issue ad or an election ad. And I think the Supreme Court ruling that's laid out much of our current campaign finance law, Buckley v. Valeo, has really set the standard for what constitutes an issue ad or an election ad. An election ad has to have very specific language: vote for, vote against, oppose, support. And these judicial ads that count as issue ads simply don't have that. And so I understand that for a lot of people that there's a thin line between them, but the Supreme Court has decided since the Constitution was written that there is a place for anonymous speech, and we need to err on the side of caution with this to make sure that our First Amendment rights are protected.
Rich, talk to us about your interpretation of this distinction.
Well, Buckley was not the last word on campaign finance jurisprudence from the U.S. Supreme Court. Let me quote.
This is Buckley v. Valeo.
This is 1976, after the Watergate reforms. And what one of the main things that happened was to say that spending in elections cannot be limited. Contributions can, because they carry a risk of corruption of a public official. But in 2003, in McConnell against FEC, the Supreme Court said that the express advocacy standard from Buckley is functionally meaningless. And again, to go back to Wisconsin Right to Life, issue ads take no position on a candidate's character, qualification, or fitness for office. Now, the ad that you spent or played was an example of the kind of advocacy that is certainly characterizing the suitability to hold office of a candidate. It was not lobbying that particular judge or any of the judges mentioned.
You've referred to the U.S. Supreme Court ruling several times. But if we've been going off that ruling ever since, it begs the question, why doesn't the current Secretary of State, Ruth Johnson, just issue a different interpretation and call for disclosure?
Well, I think that's exactly the point. She's punted on this to an administrative rule process that's not the appropriate response. Her responsibility in office would be to vacate an interpretive statement made by Secretary of State Terry Land in 2004, which said, unless there are words of express advocacy from Buckley against Valeo, any kind of a campaign message is not express advocacy. Therefore, it's not a campaign expenditure. Therefore, it doesn't have to be disclosed.
And we've been operating according to that ever since.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gideon, DeSandro, what's next for this bill politically? Do you have a take on that?
Well, the Senate did what they're supposed to do. Whether or not we like it, the difference between issue ads and election ads is the current law in the state of Michigan. It's the current Secretary of State's ruling. It's the prevailing law. And so the Senate took a situation where there was ambiguity and confusion about the law, and they explicitly wrote the difference into state law. That's good public service unless you don't like the current law. So they did what they're supposed to do. The bill now goes to the House, and it sounds like the House is of the same mind. Hopefully, they'll also uphold the current law, and we'll see this, our First Amendment rights, defended in the state House.
We seem to be getting some mixed signals from the governor's office. Do you have any thoughts on where Governor Snyder stands?
I don't know personally, though I will say a lot of these mixed messages are coming from other people talking about the governor rather than the governor himself. We'll see where he is soon enough.
Rich, any thoughts on the legislative process ahead?
Well, I think the Senate Bill 661, before it had this slapdash amendment in committee last Thursday, was a bad bill to begin with. Quite literally, 99.99% of Michiganders never have an encounter with a campaign finance contribution limit. It is literally 1% of 1% of Michiganders who are affected by our contribution limits. That's a statistical truth. So this was a sop to 1 in 10,000 Michiganders who want to buy a greater share of campaign finance action so they can exercise greater influence in all things political. Now, this amendment that was rushed through on Thursday morning after an hour-long recess attempted to make the act forever more bulletproof from any disclosure if you're coy with your use of language. I suspect it's not going to succeed. Margins are closer in the House. For those who were judged to be in marginal districts in the Senate, they were allowed to take a walk. And I'm not sure that anybody wants to go on record as being an enabler of dark money going into an election year.
Gideon, contributions were effectively doubled by this. What do you think the impact of that is?
Well, I think
doesn't that just benefit the people with deep pockets already even more?
I think it benefits all of us in that it gives us all a greater right to free speech. It gives us all greater access to free speech. Just because we don't all exercise our free speech in that way to the greatest extent doesn't mean we don't deserve that right. That's the entire point of the Bill of Rights. It's to defend the minority from the tyranny of the majority. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights defend the rights of every single American, not just the vast majority of us, not just 99.99% of us. They are supposed to keep the right to free speech protected for every single American.
But doesn't the minority really have – the tiny minority are the ones with the deeper pockets.
They choose this way to express their free speech. But the point is that it's open for anyone. Anyone can express their free speech in this way. And the Supreme Court's upheld that idea. They've said that to limit the free speech of some to empower others who choose not to express their rights in that way is wrong. It's antithetical to the entire First Amendment.
Rich, care to respond?
Well, I should just say there certainly are no limits on what anyone can spend in political campaigns in Michigan. But you must make an independent expenditure if you want to do unlimited spending. What this allows is twice as much leverage directly with candidates for office and ultimately office holders. That's the point of this, to double the direct leverage over office holders.
Bruce Cortade of the State Bar also told us in September on this program that polling suggests 96% of the public support identifying these funding sources. Isn't that significant, Gideon?
Sure. I mean, when you call it dark money or you call it people most likely associate it with negative campaign ads because that's just what it's become over the last decade or so, they're not popular. But the fact of the matter is that it's a free speech issue and that we have to defend our rights whether or not they're expressed in a popular way or an unpopular way. Whether or not you like seeing these ads on TV, it is our right to be able to speak out against our government. It's something that was very important to the founders of this country. It was the basis of the First Amendment. It's the way they spoke out against their government and created ours. The right to free speech and the right to anonymously speak out against the government is just tantamount to being an American.
Okay. Rich Robinson is the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. We just heard from Gideon DeSandro, who is the communications director for the Michigan Freedom Fund. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.